everybody. Welcome back to Retro Wrestling with Gene Jackson. And this week, it's the long-awaited return of the UWF Fury Cast, the Herb Abrams UWF podcast. That's right. After many requests, I finally decided to pick back up where we left off after episode 10. Unfortunately, Bob Anderson will not be joining me for this incarnation of the show, but I promise we're still going to have a lot of fun with it. And oh boy, we're coming back. We are diving headfirst into a steaming pile of late-night wrestling insanity, better known as the UWF Fury Hour, episode 11. And as always, this episode of the Fury Hour is brought to you by cocaine. Now, if you're new to the show, I envy you, but buckle up. This is Herb Abrams Universal Wrestling Federation, where logic goes to die, racism gets airtime, and the phrase, "Who booked this crap?" is more of a mantra than a question, but let's get into it. We open up with Herb Abrams introducing the show with his usual enthusiasm. He promises a powerful card tonight, which makes me think he might have switched from coke to crack if tonight's card is one he deems powerful. But anyway, the big hype this week, Colonel De Beers, noted fake South African racist stereotype, is facing a mystery opponent. Who could it be? Is it Hulk Hogan? Is it Sting? Nope. Spoiler alert, credit BT, it's Louis Cutie Pie Spicoli, folks. And yes, he did just wrestle here last week as a heel. And now we're going to tease him through this entire show going against our mega heel, Colonel De Beers, as his mystery opponent. I guess we're doing that because, you know, he was a heel last week. I don't know. We're also going to see the UWF debut of The Rock. No, not Dwayne Johnson. No, not Ole Anderson. That's right, it's the other Rock. Don Morocco is here in the UWF, and actually I'm pretty excited about that. I'm looking forward to that. One significant thing to mention here at the top of the show, Herbie has finally seen fit to take himself off the play-by-play and introduces guest announcer Craig DeGeorge of 80s WWF fame. Now, he may not be everybody's favorite announcer, but anything is better than Herb at this point. And honestly, I don't know. I always kind of liked Craig DeGeorge. I don't know. Maybe just because, you know, I was 10 years old and I remember those old Coliseum videos he was on. And I don't know. I was one of the rare few that found him and Johnny V's banter humorous at the time. But I'm just curious who convinced Herb to make this change, because clearly he doesn't have enough self-awareness to come to this decision on his own, I wouldn't think. So surely someone must have found some casual way to convince him to give someone else a shot in this role. I don't know, Bruno, perhaps, Brian Blair, maybe, the authorities. I don't know, but I'm not mad at it. I'm looking forward to experiencing a Fury Hour without Herb ranting throughout the matches and overhyping what typically is usually some of the longest, most boring squash matches in wrestling history. As well, if you've made it up to episode 11, you know where we're at right now. But if you haven't, go back and check out episodes 1 through 10, back when I had my co-host Bob Anderson. Those are a lot of fun, and that'll get you up to speed here for episode 11, because basically what happens, it's episode 11 of the UWF Fury Hour, which coincides with episode 11 of the Fury Cast, not to be confused with which episode number we're on in the big scheme of things for retro wrestling. But nonetheless, let's go to the ring for the first match. First match out of the gate, we've got the Russian Bear, Ivan Koloff, versus Matt Starr. Now, Matt Starr looks like somebody put an Arby's roast beef sandwich in a wrestling singlet. But Koloff, he's in his 40s here, but he's still in good shape. He's angry. He's swinging that chain around like he's ready to take down San Martino for the WWF Championship one more time. And Koloff, he works over Matt Starr with a lot of basic moves, and then he hits his signature Russian sickle, which for the uninitiated, that's just a gimmicky name for a clothesline. But hey, Russian sickle sounds a lot better, right? But Ivan gets the win. Then he starts to beat Matt Starr's ass with the chain post-match, because in the UWF, you always follow an uncomfortably long squash match with a post-match beatdown for heat for basically no reason at all. Bruno Sammartino, he's still on commentary, sounding more and more like he's realizing what a colossal fuck-up it was to take this gig in the first place. But the checks are still coming for Bruno, at least, so he's still here. Post-match promo with Herb interviewing the man that he refers to as Ivan Koloff. He can't say Ivan, apparently, so it's always Ivan Koloff. Koloff gives his standard ranting America sucks and whatnot type promo that you typically got from Ivan over the years. As Herbie says, he hopes that Nikolai Volkoff or Nikita Koloff runs him over. Whatever that means. In their car, perhaps. I don't know. But that's... Herbie delivered that line and quickly started walking away from Ivan. So there you go. Then we cut to another Coke-fueled promo from Dr. Destee Williams. If you follow along with the previous 10 episodes, me and Bob have had a lot of fun with these Dr. Death promos. He promises he is not done with Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and that he's going to take him out at the Rumble in the Big Apple at the Penta Hotel. And you know, folks, a lot of young wrestlers, they grow up aspiring to someday compete at Madison Square Garden. But I know personally, I always hope to one day wrestle across the street at the Penta Hotel, and I'm jealous. A lot of these guys got to. You say you're not familiar with the Penta Hotel? All right, well, let's let them tell you about it.
Glenn Miller's Pennsylvania 6-5000, a jazz classic, and the phone number to a New York classic, the Pennsylvania Hotel, now the newly renovated Penta Hotel. The Penta is located in one of New York's most dynamic areas, just blocks from the city's highlights, and across the street from Madison Square Garden. No matter what your needs are, Pennsylvania 6-5000 is the number for one of the most legendary hotels in New York, the Penta Hotel.
Well, there you go. That tells you all you need to know about the classic Penta Hotel. And as you go through listening to these shows, if you're listening to these with earbuds or a headset, the sound when I play these audio clips are only going to play through one speaker. I apologize. That's just how these shows are online. So, going to have to bear with me on that. Anyway, we saw a replay of that infamous steel chair attack where Steve Williams floored Mr. Wonderful with a big chair shot. But thankfully, this time, somebody had the good sense to finally edit out the part where Williams waxed the referee multiple times with the same chair, who then totally no-sells it. After Orndorff took one chair shot to the head, was busted open, and was done for the night, this referee took about six of them and got up to walk away. But yeah, we finally edited that out. So that's a good move there by the crack editing staff from the UWF, or the UWF staff on crack, whatever it is. Next up, here it is. It's the, what we've been waiting for. It's the debut of The Rock in the UWF. That's right. The Rock, Don Morocco, is here taking on the intern. Yep. UWF are getting dangerously close to just naming jobbers after office positions. Next week, it'll be Dr. Death versus the receptionist. Actually, no, I kid. Of course, the intern gimmick has been around forever, especially in our beloved Memphis. But this particular intern is actually the former Davey Meltzer. He was later called the Patriot when he took on the Viking, a.k.a. Ludwig Borga. And otherwise, he's known as the UWF's resident punching bag, whether he's in a mask or out of a mask or whatever you want to call him. You know he's going to get his ass beat, and he does so here. But bless his heart, the intern tries, but Morocco throws him around like a sack of shit. Morocco ends up hitting him with a mean tombstone piledriver. That's right. Morocco was known to pull out a tombstone piledriver every now and again, long before Mark Calloway made it his finish. And then at the end, after the match, we get a promo at ringside as our ringside interviewer, now that he's not on commentary, Herb Abrams, he talks to Don Morocco. Morocco tells him that he's working out every day to lose his gut. Actually, he referred to it as his drum. But I appreciate the honesty anyway, right? How frankly can you, I mean, how many times have you ever heard a wrestler say in a promo, hey, I'm trying to do my best to work out and get rid of this gut here. You know, fun promo. However, I would trade this entire episode of UWF for just one more Fuji Vice segment, but maybe that's just me. Anyway,
we'll return after these messages.
Relive the glory days of Memphis wrestling with the Retro Wrestling Review USWA podcast. Each week, we go back in time to review USWA Championship Wrestling from the 1990s, episode by episode. Join us for watch-alongs, behind-the-scenes stories, and exclusive interviews with people who were there and lived it. Whether you grew up watching it or you're discovering it for the first time, this podcast is your ringside seat to Memphis wrestling history. It's all a part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Listen now at uswapodcast.com.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF Project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories. You can also listen to the Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met. So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
Tired of the same boring wrestling podcast? Need something with attitude, chaos, and maybe just a little cussing? That's STSPod.club, and we got it all covered. We've got wrestling weirdness with WTF News Desk, 5-minute time limit, and the Southern Fried Brain of me, BT, stirring the whole ship. We also have Rolling Into Memfo every week about the current Memphis wrestling. Interviews, hot takes, and wrestling outrageousness so wild it might get you banned in 12 states. That's right, it's SDSPod.club, or search all podcast catchers for Shooting the Shiznit, where wrestling podcasts grow chest hair. Not sure what that meant. Love my mama.
As always, we keep cutting to the same crowd reaction shots over and over in all these UWF shows. At these tapings, they would find a couple of shots of people in the crowd in rare moments where they actually appeared to be interested, or at the very least was just mugging for the camera. And then we very noticeably cut to these same shots, these same exact reaction shots, over and over throughout the episode, or even throughout whatever episodes were all taped in the same night. You'll see these same people giving these same reactions multiple times throughout the show. If you haven't watched these Fury Hours, well, you do go back and watch them, because they're here on the channel, on the Retro Wrestling Archive. Pay attention to that and see if you can catch these same reaction shots getting shown over and over. It's funny. Up next, now this is where the show gets real UWF-y. Yeah, I just coined that term right this very second, but it's the only way I know to describe it. B. Brian Blair, the Killer Bee himself, cuts a promo in the ring, thanking the fans for their concern for his wife slash valet, Honey, who's been out selling an injury that she suffered here on TV a few weeks back. And B. Brian Blair is taking on Ricky Itake, who, compared to the intern, looks like maybe he wandered in from an entirely different promotion. But anyway, he's here, and him and B. Brian Blair actually have a pretty passable match here until, of course, the run-ins start. Cowboy Bob Orton holds B. Brian Blair after running in, while John Tolos whips him across the back with a belt. Oh my God, who is going to save B. Brian Blair? Will it be Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff? Who could it be? It's Captain Lou Albano. That's right. Just when it looks like Blair's about to get murdered for the second week in a row, Captain Lou Albano waddles down like a drunk uncle storming a family barbecue uninvited, wielding that cattle prod that B. Brian and Honey call the Stinger, and he saves Blair's ass here. And you know, nothing says top heels like powdering out from Captain fucking Lou. But that's what we got, folks. Next up, we get a commercial for Midnight Express Limo Service. And guess what? there's a manager here in this commercial promoting Midnight Express limo service. Now, right now, you're picturing in your head, what manager, what wrestling manager would be in a commercial promoting the Midnight Express limo service? It has to be Jim Cornette, right? No. Oh, well, this is 1990. Well, then it has to be Paulie Dangerous-Light, right? This is the original Midnight Express limo service. No. It's John Tolos screaming and ranting and raving about all the amenities that you'll get in the Midnight Express limo service. As a matter of fact, let's take a listen to that right now.
This is the Golden Greek speaking, and when I travel in style, man, all the way. Look at this beauty. Look at this. The Midnight Express limousine. Beautiful, classy, first class. The ultimate in traveling. This is what the Golden Greek does. Travel in first class. Take a look at this. The Midnight Express beauty. Take a look inside. All the comforts of home. Television. Telephone. A little refreshment. Comfortable ride. What do you need? And it sits everybody comfortably. Remember, the Golden Greek tells you, Midnight Express limousine, the ultimate in limousine service. And if you heard it from the Greek.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school, but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Bob Smith, and guess what? The Outdated Wrestling Hour is now part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. But hey, no fear, you're still going to hear the unique guests, comedy, music, authors, journalists, funny people. Who knows who's going to end up on the Outdated Wrestling Hour? Remember, it's all new and all old. So check it out, the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, and wherever you get your podcasts. Listen, if you know what's good for you.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/wrasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
So there you go. It's beautiful. The Midnight Express limousine service. Take it from John Tolos. It has all the comforts of the home right there in a limo. So then we go to Herb and Bruno in front of a green screen picture of a box office. And both of them here sound like they're on sedatives. Even Herbie, who's usually just wound up like a dollar watch. They're both talking about hyping the big, exciting Rumble in the Big Apple coming to the Pinto Hotel very soon. So, yeah, they run down some matches there. I know there's an AWA title match with Larry Zbysko taking on David Sammartino. We got the big grudge match with B. Brian Blair taking on Cowboy Bob Orton. Plus, we've got the huge grudge match with Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff taking on Steve Dr. Death Williams. So, Rumble in the Big Apple at the Penta Hotel. It's going to make WrestleMania look like a flea market show, I guarantee you. Next up, Captain Lou's Corner. And if you've been following along with the previous 10 episodes, you know that as the episodes rolled along, me and Bob became increasingly more and more disenchanted with Captain Lou and his corner. But this week, Captain Lou has special guest Wild Thing Steve Ray, who, honestly, he's the one babyface in the UWF at this point who has star potential that isn't a WWF cast-off. He's actually, you know, someone who is more or less a homegrown UWF star, for lack of a better word. So, in the ring, at least. In the ring. Now, his promos, well, that's another story, and this is a fine example of it. You know, and we've talked about in the past how these things just lose all over the place. He's got these stock lines that he says over and over. He's fighting with the heels, and, you know, it's insanity. I don't know really what they wanted these things to be, but in this one, Steve Ray rants about doing the nasty every night while wearing underwear on his head. Albano tries to corral it into something resembling a promo, and when Albano is the one trying to reel it in, you know you're in trouble, but it just turns into a fever dream with rubber bands and pelvic thrusts, and obviously, you just need to hear this one for yourself. So let's listen to Captain's Corner with the Wild Thing, Steve Ray.
Yes, sir, wrestling fans, I'm back again with the Captain's Corner, the big old fat man with the rubber band in his beard, baby, and this week I have a surprise. That's right, I got the Wild Thing. Come on out here, brother. Now we got a man
here. Wait, you're not the fat man. You're the Wild Man. Take a look at the rubber band. He's going all the way. He's talking. He's rocking. And he's even got some underwear.
Well, wait a minute. Now the man is young. The man's got a few screws loose upstairs.
A little bit wild. A little bit crazy. A little bit insane. But I like to have a good time, baby. Because I was out doing the nasty the other night. And I'm going to do the nasty every night. Because Captain Lou, you're the man. From New York, and you know what it's all about, so say it stinking like a Lincoln.
Wrestling fans, the man is a capable wrestler, even though we know he's not dealing with a full deck. The
wait
man is not there. Got an IQ, an IQ of -7, but the man
wait,
is a competent
wait,
wrestler.
Wait, my foot's bigger than -7 now. Come on, give me some credit. Now, I might be a little bit crazy here, but let me tell you, we're talking about top competition. January night,
yeah.
I'm getting so excited. And you know what? I'm with the best thing that's going today. The man that took a walk on the wild side and can tell Adam and Eve how to really do it right.
I've got to say, you're talking right.
Fast.
You're talking about January 9th. Ooh. You're talking about being a capable wrestler. But I got to say, any man to come out here wearing panties on his head, baby, it's got to be a little bit wacko upstairs. Straight as an arrow.
Straight. Boom, just like
Yeah. You're going to the right place, baby. New York City.
Come on, man. You know, party time.
Yeah.
The Big Apple, and I've got the trunk right here.
Yeah.
So, ladies, when you're ready to go out and do the wild thing, me and Captain Lou are going to be together doing it all the way.
Hey, speaking about being soft, girls, is this man got screws loose?
Come on now. I'm not soft. I'm not hard. I've been playing hardball. And you know what? We're about out of time.
Well, wrestling fans, it's Captain Lou with the Captain's Corner, and this week we had a very odd guest. Here he is.
All right, there you have it. Captain's Corner with the Wild Thing, Steve Ray. And after hearing all that, well, what better thing to do than to see him in the ring? That's right. The Wild Thing is in action, and he's taking on the Blue Knight, who I assume was named after whatever medieval dinner theater he worked at down the street from the studio here. But the Knight gets squashed. Steve Ray hits him with a flying clothesline, nearly decapitates the poor bastard. Then he ends up pinning him with a somewhat generic finisher, but he gets the job done. And the commentary team really wants to drive home that Steve Ray is a breakout star. And like I said, I feel like from what we've seen so far in the UWF, as far as babyfaces go, he's the only, you know, somewhat homegrown star that isn't just a former WWF or WCW guy. So, you know, we'll see if he meets his potential. We'll continue to follow that here in the UWF as we move along. But right now, it's time for the main event. That's right, Colonel De Beers against the mystery man that we've hyped up through the whole show. Who could this mystery man be? Well, we hope it's somebody good that doesn't let the fans down. But you already know because I told you at the beginning. So after waiting for nearly an hour, It's Colonel the Beers versus Cutie Pie Louis Spicoli. Now, Bruno, much like the rest of us, is pretty incredulous that this is the alleged mystery wrestler. Again, I guess they did it because Louis was a heel last week. This was the only other guy at the taping that they could plug into the spot. It just makes no sense. But one good thing about it, Spicoli did have a nice little cheering section out in the fans that rivaled any of the baby faces that's been seen on this week's TV taping. So on that front, I guess it kind of worked. Anyway, De Beers, who earlier in the show, they showed a promo, and just in case his promos and the storyline so far hasn't spelled it out to you, De Beers just straight up referred to himself as a racist in the promo, just to make sure that we're being crystal clear of what he's trying to get across here. The other thing he's trying to get across, here in the UWF, De Beers is doing an eye patch gimmick that at some point during the match, he usually ends up switching the eye patch from one eye to the other, which, you know, that's a lot of fun when you're trying to go for all this heat of being a racist and all the things that are associated with the Colonel De Beers character, but we also get this, you know, silly eye patch thing. But anyway, the match is surprisingly solid. Of course, you know, Louis Spicoli, very talented guy, and he kind of played to those that were cheering for him in the crowd, and to the point that even Bruno Sammartino started trying to get behind him on commentary, and we had a good match here until finally De Beers hits his finishing move, the state of emergency. Now you're asking yourself, what could the state of emergency be? Well, it's a DDT. That's right. That's what we do here in the UWF. We just give common moves uncommon names. So yes, the state of emergency is the DDT, and that got Colonel De Beers the win. But of course, Colonel De Beers is the heel, and as is tradition here on the UWF Fury Hour, even though Louis is technically a heel, Colonel De Beers starts beating down Louis Spicoli after the match, starts choking him, and you know, like any good cartoon villain would, and to the point that Colonel De Beers' big rival, referee Larry Sampson, stops De Beers by grabbing De Beers by the hair of his head and pulling him off Louis Spicoli. This is our hero, folks. This is the other opposing side of this angle with Colonel De Beers. Our African-American referee, Larry Sampson, is now pulling him off of Louis Spicoli. You think this would be the high spot. And DeGeorge is trying his best to put it over, but DeGeorge keeps referring to referee Larry Sampson as Larry Sanders, which was a Gary Shandling character on HBO. But let's give Craig a break. He's new here, and I'm sure he's still trying to wrap his head around the fact that one of the main angles here in the UWF is between Colonel De Beers and a referee, based on the premise that De Beers doesn't want a black man refereeing his matches because, you know, not only is he a racist and the entire basis of his character is he's a racist, but he also has this fun little eye patch gag going on. But wait! The Iceman cometh. That's right. Iceman King Parsons hits the ring to make the save. Big headbutt on Colonel De Beers, who flees like a coward. And this is the closest thing to a satisfying moment in, of this dumpster fire of a show that you're going to get right there. So, finally, there's someone opposing Colonel De Beers and his racism besides our referee, Larry Sanders, a.k.a. Larry Sampson. Iceman King Parsons has arrived, so that should be fun. Perhaps he'll show up at the Penta Hotel as part of the Rumble in the Big Apple. I guess we'll find out next week when we get an update. But that wraps up UWF Fury Hour Episode 11. And folks, this episode had it all. Racism, interns, mid-match concussions, underwear hats, and questionable eye patches. What more could you ask for? So join me next week as we dig into episode number 12 and continue wondering just how much of this really happened and how much of this must be a cocaine-fueled hallucination from Turbo Herbo, as he was often called back then. Subscribe, like, rate, leave a review. Anything you can do for us, we sure would appreciate it. And if you enjoyed this show, please share it. Tell a friend. If you didn't, well, join the club. This is like a weekly support group for bad wrestling show addicts here. So remember, I'm Gene Jackson, and this has been another episode of Retro Wrestling, the UWF Fury Cast, And as always, I watch this shit so you don't have to. That's right. You're welcome. See you next time here on Retro Wrestling.